This is going to be a relatively unprepared podcast, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Why do you say relatively?
They're all unprepared.
We could have a fight in the podcast. That would be exciting.
Like a verbal fight or a physical fight?
Let's have a physical fight. These mics will pick it up.
Yeah.
They're very sensitive.
So are you going to fight Jay? Because
no.
That'd be awesome.
Here's the deal. Gabe is going to do it like a sports announcer in Portuguese.
That could work.
And so it'll be like the Portuguese word for like Jay shot another Hadouken, but David blocked it. It's going to be awesome. I'm very excited.
Hadouken doesn't sound that good in Portuguese.
Can you say Hadouken in Portuguese?
Yeah, please.
Hadouken.
Oh, that's
beautiful. I really like that.
I don't know. Yeah. It didn't have the same ring as it does in English. I have a question. How many iPhones are you bringing home to sell at a profit?
Well, I'll let you know that iPhones don't get that many profits in Brazil.
Oh,
but
what's the highest margin item? Can you get a new MacBook Pro? Those just came out.
No. If you want to like really get rich.
Drugs?
Nope. Oh. Victoria's Secret's lotions.
Whoa.
Sorry, say again. Victoria's Secret lotions?
Yeah, like these stuff you... for some reason, spread all over yourself.
First of all, I'm not sure you're using their lotions correctly.
Me too.
And secondly, what?
How much does it cost you?
I think you're the only one who knows.
I don't know. My girlfriend does.
No idea.
So I just Googled Victoria's Secret lotion, and there is a disturbing picture of Gabe right there.
Spreading all over myself.
I think it's a blog, but I...
It's my Tumblr.
So, Blake, Gabe, maybe this helps. The Angel Sparkle in, I don't know what size this is.
$20.
$20?
Angel Sparkle.
That's quite pricey in America.
7 ounces. Abby Quick Department is $20.
$20? You can easily sell that for...
$800. Wow. Like on the street?
On
do you have the trench coat and you kind of open it up like, hey,
need a lotion.
Want some lotions?
What are you buying? What are you selling?
Got some angel sprinkle?
I'd like to point out David's vision of the black market is from 80s satirical smile.
From Stack Exchange headquarters in New York City, this is Stack Exchange Podcast 53, recorded October 24th, 2013, with special guest Gabe Koski, our new Brazilian community manager. Welcome, Gabe.
Hi.
Today's episode is brought to you by the National Security Agency, one of the largest U.S. intelligence organizations in terms of personnel and budget. The NSA is the main producer and manager of signals intelligence for the U.S. We have our usual guests here, co-host Jay Hanlon.
Morning, afternoon, hello.
David Fullerton.
Hi.
Producer Alex Miller.
Hello.
And fake producer Alex, Abby, no relation, Miller.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Joel Spolsky. Okay. That's it. That was the podcast.
No, we have lots to talk about today. This is an exciting podcast. We have so many good things to talk about. We're not covering them all on this podcast. We have topics lined up for subsequent podcasts. But
you know what we need that we're missing from the opening of the show is something like...
Limericks, dirty limerick. No.
No, like something that we say every time. Like some like little catchphrase that we say every time.
Like, now is the time for dirty limericks.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
But we'll work on that for the next one.
I do dirty haikus too, but it's not as it doesn't align as naturally with the form. Okay, poetry reading will be next week when we talk about the dirtylimerick.stackexchange.com launch.
I once knew a man from Nance.
No, Nance. I don't get it. Slang could be in his... Never mind. They're always from Nantucket. He's always from... Never mind. Okay, we digress.
There was a
sight
nice
miles,
lady from Nantucket.
Sight milestones.
Sight milestones.
We're going to work. Gabe, say that in a big, deep... Can you do that in like a... I'm going to try not to say Brazilian. In Portuguese.
In Portuguese? Sight milestones?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
That was terrible. Okay. Sight milestones.
I think I don't speak Portuguese.
We may have hired the wrong guy for this. We have new sights. We have new sights. So I think last time we were here, we talked about space a couple times.
Pigs in space.
Confusingly, the next site we had, I think, that launched was astronomy.
Astronomy.
Which is not the same thing, which was very educational for me.
Yeah, what is the difference? Well, I guess astronomy is the like stars, and space is just the gaps between them.
Astronomy is the science. Space is the
object.
It's not space exchange. It's space exploration.
So,
stack exchange.
Right.
So it's a little narrower.
If you stare into a telescope and talk about physics a lot and probably have a PhD in something really specific, you're into astronomy.
Okay.
If you put on a helmet and climb into a vehicle and leave the Earth, you are probably on the space
site. It actually says that this is a site for spacecraft operators.
So doesn't that mean our entire audience
unlikely.
Is limited to like 45 people?
Can we? Did anybody see Gravity?
No, not
no.
Yet. Don't
I
give it away.
Spoiler
alert.
No. Okay,
I heard there's a lot of secrets.
There's a lot of stuff in the movie. Yeah, there's a lot of space stuff we can talk about there. Can I ask Gravity questions? Do they have a tag for Gravity?
I think we have another site for that. A tag for gravity.
Oh, yeah.
Questions about gravity.
No, we have a
not
movie
the movie.
Site
and
too.
Movies.
The topic, gravity.
This is the three sites
the,
on top
the force.
Of that cross post.
Yes. We let people do that, right?
Yes. Generally speaking, just because a question is on topic for one site, it is not off topic for another. In fact, one of the questions that has come up and been discussed in some depth on Meta is how to deal with the fact that astronomy has a significant overlap with physics. That there are certain questions, obviously, that are sort of astrophysics in nature, and many of them are simply on topic for both sites.
Yep.
And what we've said is, you know, the key thing to remember is you might very well ask the same exact physics question that is on topic for both sites and get different answers, where the perspective on astronomy is simply from a more astrophysical perspective, because that is their expertise.
You're not a real believer in objective truth, are you, Jay?
I think whatever I decide is right is objectively true. Everyone else has opinions that I try to use to influence how I make those decisions.
I don't believe that the scientists, like, I can understand why the Judaism and the Christianity site might have a different answer to the same question, but for the scientists that are involved in astronomy and the scientists that are involved in physics to have a different answer would be surprising.
You have not spent a lot of time studying physics. Half of them think mitochlorians are responsible for half of the things that go on. Physics has all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
I am not even interested in pronouncing that word right. It is everything that is wrong with Star Wars today.
How do you say midichlorians in Portuguese, Gabe?
It's midichlorians.
I am so good at Portuguese.
Well, okay. Well, fun fact. You know Count Dooku?
Yeah.
Can't say that in Portuguese. So we change it for
wait, Count Dooku. Is Dooku a bad word?
Yeah.
I know a dirty word in Portuguese. Like,
well, it's actually one word and one dirty word. I won't say which one is which.
No, this is unacceptable. Help us understand. You can use clean language to roughly point us in the right. Which word is dirty? I'm going to guess it's Dooku.
No. Count? Count is okay.
Oh, okay.
But when you say Dooku, you're saying from and a dirty word.
From?
Yeah, from. Oh. So, D-O.
Yeah. Okay,
D-O.
Okay. All right.
It's from.
Go. Yeah.
Nice. And the other one?
Ku?
Yeah, that one.
That's a bad word?
Yeah. Say it again.
Ku?
Yeah. So... So wrong.
This is insanely cutting edge in Brazil.
This is a adult only.
Topical.
I actually don't know what dirty thing David's saying over and over again, but I like it. Okay.
It's unclear. Other sites,
so
dirtywords.stackexchange.com.
Astronomy is doing relatively well. One of the things we saw early on, this is one of those sites where we had some concern that it wasn't as practical, as hands-on. I'm trying to do this. I'm studying this. There was a lot of what kind of felt a little bit poppy. So, you know, is it possible for a black hole to do this or that? But the reason that didn't concern us too much, we kind of pushed them to try and think of the more specific practical challenges, is the site is really well populated. If you look at the top users, there's a whole bunch of people with PhDs in astrophysics and physics and all kinds of things that sort of make us feel pretty good about the expertise there. So we're excited. Go check out astronomy. If you are an astrophysicist, a physicist who likes to stare at space, if you're a telescope enthusiast, I was going to say telephone. If you're a telephone enthusiast, you might like that too. But check out astronomy.
The telephone.
Two more launches. Tor. We had a Tor site launch. Tor, as I think a lot more people know now than did a couple months ago, Tor stands for the Onion Router. And it is.
I didn't know that.
Really?
No, I didn't know what it stood for.
Yeah, it's the Onion Router. And it is a protocol for people who want more privacy on the internet. And they basically, Tor is a special browser you use that kind of disintermediates who you are and where you are interneting from the places you hit, so you can't be tracked with proxy and other things. And a lot of people use it there's been a lot of press around people using it for nefarious stuff, drugs and all kinds of other crazy stuff. But I think a lot of people use it who simply just want to maintain their privacy and are concerned about general surveillance by the government and people tracking everywhere they go. And folks from the Tor site, I should say the Tor project, Tor.org, have been active on the site, have been participating. And it's so far, I think we've got the right group and it's actually a pretty good community. I'm excited about it. Dave, look like you had a Tor question.
Tor. I was just thinking it's very relevant to our sponsor today.
Totally. They might not get along, but that's okay. And last...
The NSA probably operates Tor.
That could be true. That could be true. It's like that guy downstairs who's like...
Remember, they are the largest U.S. intelligence organizations in terms of personnel and budget.
That's scary.
Well, there actually is a theory on the internet in part that Tor is run...
By the NSA.
Well, there's two things. One...
There is a theory
NSA.
On the internet. It's not really a meaningful statement at this point.
No, actually, the other thing is... The other thought is that they didn't set it up, but that they've set up a number of entrance and exit nodes and basically enough so that you're using Tor, but you're connecting through their boxes so they can actually disambiguate the traffic, which is actually a known vulnerability.
You've read a lot about this, huh?
Yes. I like reading crazy internet theories.
Tor, probably not run by the NSA. Check out
which brings us to our last news site.
Our last news site is almost definitely not run by the NSA, or they're using their resources incredibly ineffectively, is Pets. And Pets is doing fantastic. It is extremely high activity so far.
This is almost like parenting, isn't it? No. More activity.
So I think...
Well, in the sense that like everybody thinks they know the answer. Ooh, my milkshake has been purchased. Excellent. Where everybody thinks that they know the answer.
Well, okay. Now you've got to explain the milkshake.
No, we'll wait till it gets here. It's on its way.
Well, Joel normally takes his medication at 10 a.m. daily. Pets, I think one key thing, I still think parenting is an interesting site that could be a lot bigger, a lot better. Although I think one of the challenges parenting does have is both of these sites have a little bit of like, I've tried this, people have observed this, and a lot of people can pipe in and say, yes, this always works for me. And you get some sort of, you do get some, let's say, experienced feedback. Parenting has a little more of that weird sort of pseudo-religious conflict where there's people who have this insanely strong opinion who fight for things. You know, vaccinations cause hair loss or whatever it is, which Pets doesn't have as much of. So people have different perspectives, but I think there's less of that sort of conflict over these kind of really strong fundamental views. Your way is wrong.
Like, what is an effective way to discipline a dog? That's a terrible question.
Why?
Very general.
There's like 18 kinds of bad behavior, and training dogs out of each of them is a very specific thing.
There are more specific questions on the site, yeah, I think. That's one of the more general ones.
Somebody needs to rescue this dog. Oh, my God. The person just ties it up and doesn't feed it.
How can I prevent a neighborhood tomcat from harassing my neutered female cat when she goes outside?
My big hope for the site is hopefully we get some good answers, because it's going to SEO like crazy. Like people will actually find this stuff, right? People are typing, why does my dog prostrate?
Nope.
With an R. Prostrate.
Lay down?
Yeah. And, you know, people will probably type that into the internet.
But I think this is like, how do I...
I'm going to ask, why does my dog prostate?
Like, how do I introduce our dog to a brand new baby?
Yeah.
Right? That's a good question. There's good answers.
I guess so.
And they quote stuff from the Humane Society where they've done actual research.
These are real questions that will be useful to a lot of people if we get good answers.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day...
Kind of worried that people may not really know the right answer.
I like this question. How much purring is too much purring?
Yeah, that is a problem.
From a human or a cat?
Yeah,
from a dog.
I'm going to say that much to the next thing Joel's about to say.
Here's an interesting pet question. My dog, when he was a puppy, every once in a while would run out in the lawn, eat some grass, and then throw up. And so I started searching for like dog eats grass, throws up on the internet.
On here already. Boom.
And he found like 100 videos.
This is the sign
and he
of a good site.
Yeah.
Question number 316 on the site is, why do dogs eat grass?
And then throw up.
Well,
give me the number again.
What it basically,
9-1 what?
Question 316.
316.
And what it says is, I've always been told that dogs eat grass because they have upset stomachs.
Yeah.
However, my dogs do it every time they go outside.
Okay. So here's an interesting thing. When I searched for this originally on the internet, I found hundreds of sites. A lot of people ask this question because dogs are often observed to eat grass and then throw up. And I found a group of people saying, oh, it's very bad. Don't let them eat the grass. It makes them throw up. And that was one thing that I saw. And then I saw a lot of people saying, oh, the dog has eaten something bad. There's something wrong with his stomach.
It knows it should throw up.
It knows to eat the grass in order to induce vomiting. And so it's good. Just let him eat the damn grass and throw up. He's going to be happier afterwards. This was something that I always thought was broken about the internet. So let's see. I mean, we got an answer here, but I don't know if this is going to be like a canonical answer or if there's going to be any kind of scientific knowledge.
Well, the key for something like that is I mean, it's going to citation
needed,
right?
The number one voted thing doesn't have any like references or links or...
Yeah,
so,
that's
in fact,
that's
the number one voted one is not... Bad.
Not really bad?
It's not really good. I'm sorry. It's not a good answer that I would trust. Here, this is the number two answer. I'm going to vote that up and put this one down.
It's pretty close to...
Okay, fixed.
Close to being the number one.
Problem solved. Okay.
Yep. So number one answer is by Josh DM. It has a bunch of kind of specific possible reasons that eat grass. And I think perhaps of most interest to Joel is it sorts a specific source with some credibility, which is Modern Dog Magazine, as opposed to... Old antiquated dog ideas magazine.
It's a magazine for modern dogs. It's not.
Yeah, no, it's not a new magazine.
Not a modern magazine.
These dogs dress like gin. Like they're like they have cool modern outfits on. And
yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so pets is pretty cool. If you have pets, if you are a pet, go. We have a site just for pets. Go check it out. It is awesome. It's growing quickly. We're really excited about it. Next up, we have featured site. Gotta work on that. I don't love that.
That was not very good.
Feature site this week. This is going to be a
featured site.
You know what? We need to have popular demand record all of the
all of the segment entries.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We'll get like a Don Pardo thing going on.
You're just wimping out and just saying it in your regular voice. You're about to, you're like, you knew you
I was on the edge. I didn't commit.
You didn't commit, and you were just sort of embarrassed there.
Okay. Right. I feel like okay. Yeah. So the feature site this week is The Workplace, and I think this one's interesting.
Workplace.
Yes, this is a site called The Workplace Stack Exchange.
Yeah, so it's currently in beta right now, although it has a lot of activity. It's one of our most successful sites, I'd say, that is still in beta, so we're paying a lot of attention to it. So we don't usually talk about beta sites in our featured site. In the 2 weeks we've done this, I think that this is the first time. But they're doing phenomenally. And I think it's an interesting site because it highlights the questions they get are far less, so they have much less factual answers than a lot of our other successful sites. So I know we're just coming off pets, so that may be a strange transition. But I think when you think about, you know, we usually expect questions to have sort of right answers. Most of these don't. These are really very, very sort of what would you recommend as an approach to this specific situation? And so it's certainly less rankable, I think, than a lot of our sites. But they've got, I think, some.
Could you give us an example?
Yes. I have a number of interesting questions. So here's, I think, a good example of something. A lot of these questions represent things where you have sort of high talent, smart people. The site is probably disproportionately about programming workplaces right now. As many of our sites, we have a lot of developers on the network, but it's not focused on that. But a lot of the examples tend to be. So this question is sort of, how can I tell people to get to the point? It's question number 9283, which.
What?
How can I tell people to get to the point?
That sounds too high. That was right.
That is relevant to this podcast right now.
Yeah, Jay, get to the point.
But it's a good example sort of this is a person who is, I think, most likely knows what they're doing at their job, is very smart, has lots of information. But this is really more about sort of how do you interact with someone who is doing the wrong thing, redirect them in a way that is
The first answer is just like, just cut them off and just tell them to
get to the point. Start asking questions early on in the fluff talk.
That's not a good answer, actually.
No, I disagree. Read it in depth. So what the answer is politely cut them off.
I like this one. Forge a new mission statement.
Excuse me, Jay, I'm sorry. I'm not following. What exactly do you want us to do here?
I don't think you're reading it in the right tone, but what it essentially...
I see. So how exactly can we help you accomplish that?
See, I don't think you're following what the guy is saying.
Synergy. Yeah, I totally agree.
The point here, if you read these in a nicer tone, which is a little more, excuse me, I'm not following. There's a lot of what he's basically getting at is when you cut someone off, if you redirect it to like, I can't quite follow, or I am trying to figure out the next thing I can do to help you. So what he's essentially advocating is sort of an interruption model that doesn't say you're going on too long. It says I need something or I am trying to help you, which is just a sneaky way to make the person feel happy you interrupted them.
Yeah.
And I think the site is sort of full of these questions which don't have factual answers. There's not a right answer. It's another good example. One thing I'd highlight, too, is it's one of the few sites where multiple answers, I think, can be useful at the same time. So some are better than others. They're highly rankable. But if you look at question 1963, this is a kind of generic one. This isn't the most answerable question. How do I deal with difficult but talented employees? And the notion is that there's people who are really, really good at their job.
This is really relevant to me.
I don't actually like this question at all, because there are 14 different categories. I wrote this somewhere. I'm sick of giving this answer all the time.
Get on here, man.
It was either on this website or another website, which is like, that doesn't, like, the number of ways in which somebody can be difficult are large. And it's sort of like saying, I'm a doctor. I'm not really trained in the medical arts, so-called, but people come to me with their illnesses. How can I solve sick people?
Actually, it's more analogous to how do I discipline
a dog? No, but I don't.
Yes, it's analogous to that in the sense that the first thing you have to do is diagnose why they're being difficult. And there are probably at least 12 reasons.
Yeah.
If we just pick things out of the DSM, that you might have to deal with.
Not everyone who's difficult is diagnosable. But what I like about this type of question here, and what I think it's useful, is the top few answers are helpful in different ways for different situations. And so the first answer sort of breaks into some different types of things. So think about sort of how, like, whether you fall into this category or that category. But the basic idea is to really assess. They start with sort of you have a team problem you have to solve. And one way to do it is to just get rid of the person. If they're really valuable, you may need to separate them, essentially create a separate space they can work in where it's no longer necessary. And then there's the second answer is a completely different approach, which it sort of talks about an old Phil Jackson, some sportsy thing with Dennis Rodman. But one thing that's interesting is they get into a notion that it's almost up to the team, that teams will tolerate, in some cases, a certain amount of difficult people because they bring so much in work product. And if they do, that's great. You have to figure out how to sand off those edges. And if they don't, that won't work, and it'll break the team. And just what I think is interesting here is there's a lot of these questions where there's not a right answer. Some are better than others. But I think as you're reading this, you might read the top three answers, and one of them speaks to one that would fit you better.
Yeah, I still feel like this is a massive malpractice.
I still wish you would get to the point.
The last question, there's a ton of, I think, very good questions about just things that people don't do a lot, whether it's managerial things, but also there's a good number on workplace transitions. So things like in an interview, right? How do I get information sort of about work-life balance without sounding like I'm lazy and my priorities are not working, things like that. And there's, again, pretty good answers. Another great one I thought was, because I remember having situations like this, is how do I explain that I don't want to be promoted to the next logical managerial role in this path without sounding like I lack ambition, I'm not excited about things. And there was,
this feels like a self-help group. This is exactly what we were afraid of with Workplace, that it would just be a bunch of, I don't even want to say self-help group, just a place where a bunch of people commiserate and they sit around and they say,
No, but I think you're looking at the question going, it's going to be crappy answers, but they're not crappy answers, right?
But they are. I just read them.
No. So the question about what they advise, which I think is sort of, I don't say obvious to me, but makes sense to me, but I think it's not obvious to everyone, is that the way you reframe it, right? The answer on that question, it basically says you want to reframe it as explain what you are excited about and why in depth, right? Which essentially allows you to imply what you are not excited about and don't want to do without sounding like, I don't want a promotion. It's like, I love what I do. I love writing code like this.
Sorry, I was on the previous question.
And this is actually, I think people do struggle. It is a hard thing to explain because when it's you, you keep thinking, how do I say I don't want to be a manager? How do I say I don't want to be a manager? And the answer is basically, you don't. You say, I love writing code. I want to write code all day long. And that's what gets me excited. It's what gets me up every day. And I want to figure out how I can do more writing code
doesn't
to help
this depend,
the company.
Entirely on the organization, the person you're talking to?
Sure. And I think what you'll get to over time is some of these questions may have to get narrowed, where you basically say more, you know, in a financial organization, how would you approach this problem? But right now, I think what you're seeing is these questions that can sound very touchy-feely, no right answer, have really, in some cases, helpful answers that aren't right, but they're good. And people are, I think, correctly voting up a lot of the good ones. It's a really, I think, interesting site. It's worth checking out. Particularly right now, it's very, the expertise tends to be people who have worked at technology firms. It is a lot of developers, but it's not focused on that dedicated. And a lot of them are pretty broad, good advice. So anyway, check out The Workplace, our featured site of the podcast once a week. Can we talk about, let's find out everything that Gabe knows about Portugal, which he doesn't live in. And Gabe has primarily been hired to correct me when I say Portugal, when I'm referring to the country of Brazil, a country with many, many, many people.
Yes.
Or when I say Brazilian, when referring to the language generally known as Portuguese, because it is embarrassing to everyone when I keep doing it.
I notice you don't call it Angolan.
You mean when I'm talking about English?
No, Angolan is the country that speaks Portuguese as well.
Angolan, that makes no sense. Their whole name means of English, doesn't it?
I don't know, but it's a Portuguese, it's the third.
That would
Portuguese
be Angolan, wouldn't it?
It might also be bigger than Portugal.
So in any case, we obviously have brought someone on who speaks Portuguese and Brazilian because we want to better capture the programming talent that is in the country of Angola, which
in Mozambique.
I have no idea where that country is, but I'm sure it's
seriously
Angola. Geography, I'm not so
in Africa.
That
which
makes
part?
Sense. I would have guessed that continent. So Gabe has been with Gabe. How long have you been here now?
I think 3 or 4 months.
Can you say that in Portuguese?
Yeah, 3 meses. Ou 4 meses.
He could be screaming. He might have just said, like, you pulled that out of your duku or whatever the phrase is. nobody knows. So Gabe is our first Portuguese-speaking community manager and was on the network. I kind of used the sites, but was not a super experienced user. He has a development background.
Yeah.
He is a student, a user of the internet, like, well, pretty much everyone now. But Gabe is actually very quickly kind of gelled to the communities. But we are really, really excited about the work he's been doing in helping us think about our localization plans. And David's shaking his head. We might not be doing localization plans anymore, as long as he changes the roadmap and doesn't consult me. In which case, having Gabe here is going to be really embarrassing for this podcast. But we have been talking a lot about getting to a place where Stack Overflow or anything like Stack Overflow is available in other languages where there are a significant number of developers who either don't speak English or simply aren't as comfortable speaking English. And we are starting with Angola. As we've talked about before. No, we focused quickly. We honed in on Brazil as a place that has a significant developer community, one which, Gabe, is it accurate to say many of the developers in Brazil do not speak English, or is that not quite right?
It's probably safe to say that, yeah.
Okay. And I think there's a few countries like this we've talked about before. I think Japan is another place. There's a lot of developers we know really don't speak English at all. And one of the things we've been talking about a bunch is also how people who can speak English but don't dream in it, don't speak it as their first language, don't count in it, as Joel put it, I thought pretty well this morning, what that kind of means for the way they would use a site. We've always said that our goal was to have as many people in the same place as possible. So everyone who is super comfortable in English, we want on their own site. We don't want these little splinter affinity groups because we think fewer people are sharing information. But we recognize that you can't simply say we want to help everyone as long as they're willing to learn to speak English so fluently they're comfortable being part of a community and doing that and getting their help. So, Gabe, tell us why you think this is going to be useful for Brazilian or really any programmers who speak Portuguese, but primarily Brazilian
one. Oh, just as you said, when you want to feel included in a community, speaking the right language and getting all the jokes and all the expressions goes a long way in making you happy to be there. So
was that a joke?
Might have been. You didn't get it?
Don't be mean, Jay.
You should go to Macau and learn Portuguese.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got 5 countries now that speak Portuguese.
I think it's 7 in total, so we have until the end of the podcast to figure out
the other two.
Yeah.
Mozambique.
You know, when we launched this site, we could do a Mystic Pizza tie-in because they were Portuguese immigrants, I believe. Okay.
Okay, what we're looking at, it's Lusophone, right? Lusophone countries.
We already
this is a word that means a country that speaks
Portuguese.
There's an official community of Portuguese language countries.
Yeah, the word L-U-S-O, I don't know what that comes from. Lusophone means, you know, speaking Portuguese.
Yep.
I don't know why. From Lusitania. Okay. Angola, Brazil, Cape Verde, East Timor, Equatorial Guinea, Guinea-Bissau, Mozambique, Portugal, Sao Tome and Principe, and Macau. Wow. Some of those are pretty small.
Yeah. Mauritius and Senegal are also observers.
Observers?
They just
don't want to get involved, but they're willing to keep an eye on what's going on.
I'm not quite ready to commit to this language, but let's see what happens. Gabe, I think we asked you a question. It was probably of interest to us. Why do you think we need Stack Overflow in Portuguese? Or if you don't, now would be a really good time to tell us.
Well, Stack Overflow has created a great value for everyone that has been trying to learn program or get better as a programmer for the past 5 years. And a lot of people haven't benefited from that because they don't speak the language. And many, many top Brazilian programmers, they can't speak English. It's not an issue for them. But at the same time, a lot of them just don't and simply won't. And a lot of really good resources for learning and developing your coding skills are in English. So if you don't speak it at all, you'll end up missing a ton of good stuff. So creating a question and answer site geared towards like getting people to talk about programming and get better at their jobs can only be very beneficial to everyone.
So tell me a little bit about the programmers that do speak English. So when you think about someone in Brazil who studied English and it sounds like in Brazil, this isn't quite as common as it is in, say, by France, right, where people are more likely to know English. But let's assume you are one of those programmers who studied English in college, right, who is, I guess, proficient in it according to your university. Can they just use Stack Overflow? Are they comfortable using it today, do you think?
Most of them can probably read it and, like, search for a question and kind of understand the answer, especially if there's code in it. So, but I don't think most of them will be able to participate at all. Like, creating a new question or commenting on something or answering, I don't think most of them can get the benefit of finding something they can use, but they won't participate in any other way.
I think there's an interesting something that you and I have talked about that had not been so obvious to me sort of before this. My take was always that there's people essentially have the ability to understand the language enough or they don't. And if they do, they can participate and we want them all in the same place and we don't really need to worry about what their primary language is. And if they don't, then we've got a problem we have to solve. And I think in some of our conversations, what struck me was it's easy to lose sight of sort of there is sort of a community, an interaction, a sort of sense of belonging to one big thing that is a big part of what we sort of have built these communities around is you are creating together this wonderful thing. And I think there's something I hadn't thought that deeply about. I think that kind of Joel had in the back of his mind and that you've raised sort of explicitly around it's hard to feel like you belong to a place, even if you can basically understand the key facts, when you don't understand the banter, when it takes a lot of work just to kind of mentally, you know, your processor to kind of get through exactly what's being said. And so that even in cases where somebody has good comprehension, that the odds that you feel like part of this community and you're building something is just lower, right? When you're struggling with a language that you may be very good at, but isn't natural. It takes a lot of your sort of system too, right? It takes active thinking to kind of get to. David's making a face. I still don't understand that book properly. Thinking Fast and Slow. David Fullerton recommends. It's a good book. So tell me a little bit about, is that a big part of the problem or is that just a...
Yeah, I think so. When you're meeting and trying to get along with people, context is everything. right? So when you can't really understand their expressions, when you can't really understand the jokes they're making, when you can't really understand, when you can't really tell if they're being mean to you or being nice to you, you just get the content that you need. So I have this problem. How do I solve it? You go there, you get the content, you get the code, and then leave because you're not feeling included at all because you don't know what exactly they were saying. And you can't be a part of that, right? So most Brazilians just use the site as a really, really good resource. They can go there, fish for answers, and then get the hell out because they're not feeling a part of anything. Even the, like...
Get answers, get the hell out, our new motto.
So, yeah, but let me play devil's advocate a little bit here. That's how 98% of programmers use Stack Overflow, right? This is not unique to... to a language problem. This is how everybody uses Stack Overflow, except for the kind of minority of users who actually participate in the community.
Oh, I see something arriving.
Is that a milkshake?
It looks like a milkshake.
Oh, no.
Did you get enough milkshakes for everyone, Joel?
No, I just got one.
All right, now you got to tell the milkshake story.
Thank you. Yeah.
So for those of you following along, listening to the podcast, Joel now has a full-time employee that he dispatches to get milkshakes and bring them to him during podcasts.
Not quite.
Would you like some?
He was what is the name? One and one.
Pass it around. We'll all share.
One and one. One, one, one. What's the name of the website you used?
It's not a website. It's a
milkshake.
A really terrible mobile app.
Possibly the worst mobile app that has ever been written in the
history
of writing
mobile apps. It's one of many services where you pay somebody to go do pick you up something from a store and bring it to you.
Yeah,
and
so we tested it on a milkshake.
Joel decided to test one during lunch.
Delicious Shake Shack chocolate milkshake.
To get a milkshake. I can't believe we were all passing this around and drinking it. That just seems like a bad idea. I'm going to pass.
Before you decide, it's delicious.
Now
it is really a good milkshake.
Now to be clear, this is a $5 milkshake from Shake Shack. And how much did you pay for it?
Possibly there was a $20 delivery fee. I'm not really sure because the app is so bad that there is no way to actually determine how much you're paying.
This is something around a $25 chocolate milkshake, which not very large.
I don't really drink carbs, so I'm
this
not
is,
gonna have
this
it.
Is, by the way, our new monetization strategy. We trash apps. This is probably and for enough money, you could be a sponsor next week.
Of a size that McDonald's would consider an infant's portion.
Okay, so first of all, this app only works in Manhattan and Williamsburg. That's fine. If you're in Manhattan and Williamsburg, go ahead, download the app 1-1. It's W-U-N, not what you would think. And if you could figure out how to use it, more power to you. I did manage the first time to get a milkshake delivered,
it took three of us to figure out how to use this app.
Yeah, it was extraordinarily difficult. Like, they had to reinvent the way that you edit things, and instead of having, like, a submit button, it said swipe
to
submit.
Yes, it's very strange. It did work. The milkshake was delivered, and it only cost $20 plus the price of a milkshake.
Right. To be fair, we're doing a lot of complaining about the fact that an hour ago on a whim, we pressed a bunch of buttons, and then a human being appeared with a milkshake
studio. .com 1.0, you know? It's like where people are making these ridiculous apps that have no way of ever making money.
Well, this is Urban Fetch and Cosmo, right? All these apps although I think they've fixed a lot of not this app, probably, but they fixed a lot of logistics.
Well, what I was told, which turns out not to be true, is that there was no delivery charge, and that they
after
would
after the first $20.
It wasn't a delivery charge. So one the company does not collect any. This was for the delivery person because he had to stand in line at Shake Shack for half an hour, to get Joel's chocolate milkshake.
Yeah,
that was an extra charge because of the waiting time. As far as I understand,
no, it was because it was a restaurant. If you're ordering from a store, it's free.
Oh,
and I think what they want to do is when you order from a store, like what they're telling people is that. At some point, if you're ordering something that they can keep in stock, then they'll just bring you one from their stock, and then that'll cover the delivery fees. If not, they'll go to the store.
So do they have milkshakes in Portugal, Gabe?
How do you say milkshake?
Next time you visit Portugal, since you live in Brazil.
Okay, so let's go back to Portuguese.
No, they say milkshake in Portuguese?
So I agree if we're starting from the premise of we want a place where everybody can contribute and feel welcome and be at home, then you have to allow it in other languages. Fine. But I'm not sure that's the premise that we're starting from. Right. Our goal is not to make a community for every person in the universe.
Yeah, it's to make the internet a better place to get answers to your questions. That's our goal.
To help people get answers to their questions.
Yeah, but what if they have a question that we don't already have an answer to and they don't speak English?
Okay, so that's fine. That's what I want to talk about then.
Okay.
Is to get away from, I'll be the programmer in the room, to get away from the touchy-feely community stuff and talk about what problem we're actually solving for the world.
Okay.
So,
problem.
The other thing is we're not just helping that one person get an answer.
We're helping another 100 people.
We're helping to the other 100 people who are, we think, searching for their question in Portuguese.
Problem. Right. Well, actually, they're probably weird thing about programming, which makes it so amenable to a Stack Overflow type situation, is that the problem that you're having almost certainly has keywords in it, which are unbelievably easy to find with a search engine. And those keywords are kind of universal. Those are usually in English. So there's probably not that many in the search terms that come in for us and the referrals from Google. You probably don't see a lot of words in any language at all. They're just the keywords, the error message, the error code, the number of the error message. That kind of stuff is what usually people search for.
Yeah, that's a fair amount of it.
Sometimes there's certain words, the magic words, like, how do I programmatically?
Okay, so all those people are still going, even if they speak Portuguese, they're going to land on our English-speaking site. So yeah. we're trying to capture the people who are actually Googling Portuguese words.
Well, I think we could actually probably build a very large community of Brazilian programmers that would kind of help each other out. And that would be of some value in of itself, in addition to the value of generating that artifact of the, you know, a million questions that have all their answers.
But what about the problem of fragmenting the community? Because that's always been the main counter argument to this. Yeah. Is it's not just a,
we need
it's not just a win. There's a loss on the other side because you may be stealing
people
from...
Away. Right. I think that, you know, when we started, people were sort of worried that we would fragment all the existing communities that we did. We sort of kind of wiped them out and sort of sucked them all in. But I think that on certain topics, you saw this in the first couple of years of Stack Overflow. If somebody had a site about Ruby or Java or .NET, those questions are already asked in 17 places. If you go search for, or even if you search for like dogs eating grass, you'll see that on hundreds of sites. Like on the major topics, these communities are so gigantic, there's no reason they can't support multiple Q&A sites with different version of every question.
Yeah, I think that problem would be much bigger for others, right? On Stack Overflow, I think the notion that pulling out some minority percentage and all of a sudden we won't have the right answer,
right,
or even a right question,
yeah,
is extraordinarily unlikely. So
right.
At this point,
right,
it's like everyone is fighting to ask a question before someone else has the problem on Stack Overflow. It's different on growing communities, but I think that that fragmentation, at least off of the English site, is not a problem in and of itself in capturing knowledge. Now, one issue is, are these other sites going to have enough critical mass to get most of the right answers? And I think for Brazil, for Japan, we think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll
Ben in the chat room points out that another problem we actually have on Stack Overflow is a lot of people who are just not fluent enough in English ask questions anyway because they kind of feel like they have no choice. And because they're not fluent in English, they, for various reasons, antagonize a lot of people,
sure,
which is a shame. But it's something to do with, I don't know if it's that nobody notices that they're not fluent in English. They just assume that they're in some way irritating. So people get very upset with either they vote to close these questions or they don't, you know, they just have trouble understanding it.
Yeah, I think there one of the things we run into, just to make it sound, Stack Overflow, I think, is not a, it's not a sort of anti non-English community. I think the difficulty is one of the big expectations in Stack Overflow on most of our sites is that questions have effort, that people put effort into questions.
Oh, think about how much effort goes into
The problem to a native English speaker is a question that is kind of full of sort of hard-fought phrases that actually still have meaningful grammatical errors. Then it looks to a native speaker as lazy almost across the board. And some people are good and they say, forgive me, I worked really hard at this, but my English isn't wonderful. And that helps. It helps remind the community they worked hard at it. But without that, I think what people see is if they see, you know, what appear to be, you know, a typo and two grammatical errors that are obvious to them, they see it as a lazy question.
Right.
They don't mean to. It just reads that way.
It reads that way. Exactly.
Right.
They're like, why didn't you bother putting a bunch of, you know, using correct capitalization and you didn't even bother spelling this correctly.
Right. And so I think many, many new users come in with this like, oh my God, stop yelling at me, I was trying to get help sense, because they don't know our rules yet and we're trying to steer them in the right direction often. I think it's even worse for non-English speakers who actually are working harder than almost everyone else on the site to ask their question and are told or treated like they are being lazy and not putting enough work into their question, which is a real bad first experience we don't want.
Just coming in and asking a question when you don't speak the language, it's got to go through a whole mental process of, well, should I do that? And then it takes a lot of effort to write it and then a lot more effort to just keep reading the answers and trying to figure out which one's right so we can upvote it.
Yeah.
And then
And even after you've written it, as I remember from trying to write essays in French in high school, is that you write it and you can't, because you can't read very fluently either, even the stuff that you've written, you may not notice that what you've written doesn't make sense or that you're missing something. This particular question that Ben was pointing out, we won't link to it from the show notes because it's a counterexample, but it's sort of, people are having trouble figuring out what the person is even asking because they have kind of inadvertently written a question where it's impossible to even tell what they're asking. And that is obviously a mistake. Like, clearly they have a question they want to ask. But, you know, they sort of struggled enough getting their explanation of what they're trying to do down on the page.
So one of the things also I think that was interesting is, can you talk a little bit about sort of what it's like living in a country where much of what's consumed in just whether it's popular culture or, you know, literature or professional stuff is not in the local language, and sort of how that affects what you think about things that are or not in Portuguese?
Well, when it's pop culture, we don't mind because we grew up listening to English songs and seeing English movies in English and whatever. So it kind of is there in the background, and if you eventually learn to speak the language, you'll be fine. You'll be understanding more of it, and we'll be following up, and it's okay. But if you don't, like my mom doesn't, can't say a word in English, and she still likes all the movies. Right?
So how does she watch the movie? Are they dubbed? Are they subtitled?
Yeah, subtitles.
Subtitles. So she has to read the movies.
Yeah,
reading is the worst. I'm sorry, that's terrible.
I don't know.
Just in general.
So well, yeah, because we developed a lot of mechanisms to deal with it. So if you like a song that is in English, you can just hum along instead of singing it. So it, for everyone in the United States, it's, oh my God, the song is from another country, not in English, right? For us, it's no one minds. But when you're trying to learn something new, when you're trying to get better at your professional profession, this English is hard.
That response was lazy. Negative one.
When you're trying to research
something... Unclear what you're asking. Closed.
Trying to research something and figure out the solution to a problem. There's not a lot of content in any other language except in English.
And even pop culture, when you talk about that, so is this something like, do people... It's not like foreign films here, where like certain fancy people watch them and not that much. Yeah. Like, I never watch foreign films. I do enough reading. This is a
main... Jay hates reading.
This is a significant part, sort of... Many of the movies being watched in Brazil are American movies.
All of them, pretty much, yeah.
The majority. And so, like, you're watching, like, comedies, and you're reading...
Yeah, the jokes.
Right. It's one of those things that I think when you're a native English speaker, you don't have to think much about what it's like to function in another language. And, like, I don't really understand how that works. Like, I don't think most of them would be that funny if you can't... It's fine to know that someone's yelling in a scene, but the inflection and which word you hit that makes something funny...
And it's awful
that's
for
why
everyone.
They use Markdown in the subtitles.
It's awful for everyone because if you
sarcasm tags,
if you can't understand the line and you hear it before everyone else had the chance to read it, and you start laughing before pretty much everyone else in the movie, so you have this dissonance of, oh, this is funny. Then 2 seconds later, everybody thinks it's funny too.
Oh yeah, this is Joel's story of how he knew that most developers in Japan don't speak English, because he was speaking there and he told a joke and like three people laughed and then it was translated and the whole audience laughed.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
It's possible by that time they were feeling kind of bad for you. It had gotten a little awkward. There was a little bit of...
That's true. They've got... They've
there
got
was at
kind
least
that...
one instance where the translator had trouble translating the joke because she was laughing.
That's good. It gives the cue to the audience.
Silly, yeah. Silly yeah. American.
Actually, what she just translated was laugh politely. That's all she said.
How do you say laugh politely in Portuguese?
Ria com educação.
See, that's beautiful. I like that.
It's...
Don't repeat it, though. There's probably dirty words.
That's it's all Dioko all the time. So that's it. I think that is interesting.
What if that's something really offensive? I probably
should have dug deeper into what it actually meant.
Is it like racially offensive or offensive to a particular...
What I just said?
No, the thing you told
thing
us
I
to say.
Say.
Oh,
what you don't realize is count is actually the offensive
no,
word.
No, it isn't. Count is okay. But no,
could we
it's
get
just...
sued for saying this word?
No.
Okay, good.
Will everyone stop using our website?
Well, eventually, but not because of this.
Oh,
Gabe has a much longer-term plan to take us down from the inside. So I guess the question I've got is, what do you think the experience of someone who's been using the site in English is going to be, whose first language is Portuguese? Are they going to switch to the new site, do you think? Are they going to stay? There's a reputation. There's all kinds of complexities. Big picture.
Well, I don't know. I honestly don't know, because some people, when they start speaking English and they get all the benefits you get from just understanding the majority of what's online, you kind of don't go back at all. If I want to keep up with news and technology, I won't go to Brazilian sites. I'll go to Engadget or go to whatever, because it's better, just better. But Tecnoflow comes with the community. You know, it's not just a content farm. You go there and ask questions and it magically gets answered. So it has that kind of appeal that you'll be speaking in Portuguese and might not be asking to as many people as you would be asking if you're participating on the English one. But at the same time, it's people you know, it's people you can talk to. you can relate better.
And I think it's exciting to be building a new thing. We're coming up on time, but I think one of the things that we're trying to keep in mind as we look at the site is that the community is going to decide for itself a lot about what to allow, right? We're going to look at perhaps some of the broader stuff that on Stack Overflow was initially allowed, things that today would be on server fault, right? More about systems administration or even some kind of programming things associated right now with more with super user, et cetera. The community is going to make those decisions. I think building a new thing is exciting, and there's an opportunity. There's going to be a John Skeet of Brazil. How do you say John Skeet in Portuguese?
João Skeet.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to go in and change his name to that without his permission. They don't give me that power here. So anyway,
we had to take that button away from Jay.
We'll be talking more about this as we get closer to launch. There's a lot of interesting questions around how do we deal with the content that is on Stack Overflow in English today that I think people will want to try to recreate things on the Brazilian side. There's all kinds of, I think, really interesting questions in launching a new language version of an existing site that has so much information on it. We're kind of working toward that as fast as we can. The dev team's working hard on localization, and we will be talking more about this as we get closer to rolling out a private beta.
One thing that's worth noting, there is an Area 51 proposal for this. So if this is something that you happen to be interested in or know someone who might be, if you commit to the Area 51 proposal, we'll definitely be inviting those people first to beta test the site.
Yeah. Go to area51.stackexchange.com and you look for...
Search for Portuguese.
Yeah. Yep. And this is going to be, a much bigger beta than we usually do. We're really excited about it.
Look at all the other languages that we have, Russian, Turkish.
Yeah. If you just search Stack Overflow
right there on the homepage,
you get like 15 sites.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. They're all committed.
Turkish. Like we've talked about doing that.
Yeah, who wants to do
that? Was the first, that was like the number one, that was one of the earliest proposals.
No, it was Persian.
Persian. Stack Overflow Persian. Yeah.
We don't know if that was real. That got a lot of AstroTurf support.
It's unclear. No, there was some actual Persian, it was some Persian blogger got like 600 people to go commit to the proposal.
That's what I meant by AstroTurf, yeah.
No. So we are at time.
I mean, they weren't like fake clicks.
We are at time. I want to thank Gabe. Thank you for joining us. You'll probably hear more from Gabe. Can I give away? We're going to have another exciting guest. We're recording another podcast.
On the next episode of Stack Exchange Podcast.
George Clooney is going to be talking about his opinion.
No, it's Matt Damon.
We don't have time for Matt Damon.
Unfortunately, we couldn't get Matt Damon on. We couldn't fit him in. But can I say? We can say.
You just ruined my joke, but go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Never step on the host jokes.
It's Sarah Chips.
Oh, her.
So,
okay. From Stack Exchange HQ in New York City, you've been listening to Stack Exchange Podcast 53, recorded October 24th. 2013, this episode has been brought to you by the National Security Agency, the NSA. We're listening. With guests Jay Hammond, David Fullerton, producer Alex Miller, fake producer Alex, Abby, no relation Miller, and I'm your host, Joel Spolsky. See you all next time.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Oh, yeah, and Ryan Gosling is waiting outside, and we didn't have time for him.
Apologies to Mr. Gosling.
Apologies to Ryan Gosling.
The good news is he's just taken his shirt off. No one knows why.
Joel said that, and three people turned around and looked out the door. Like, he might actually be
because
there.
I was already envisioning him with his shirt off, and it was very disappointing.
We did have a milkshake appear in the middle, but no Ryan Gosling.
It was not delivered by a shirtless Ryan Gosling.
I wonder how much the delivery charge on that would be.
Probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 100,000.
Am I the only one who's going
to? I bet you could get him for cheaper than that.
Dooku, as soon as I get off a computer that I'm afraid might be monitored by my.
Koo is Koo. The word. Do yeah. just means from.
Just see you.
How do you see you?
Yeah.
Google Translate.
I Googled Koo Portuguese and I got Portuguese profanity.
Yo.
is the article. Curse words both have
it's
CU
hard
in them.
To control F for CU because
yeah,
a lot of
yeah, we curse a lot.
There's come this, on.
Can we just talk about how there's seriously a Wikipedia article about Portuguese profanity?
Uh-huh.
Do we have a website about Uranus, the planet?
It's unclear. So there's a number of terms, longer terms that have coup in them. Yeah. Unfortunately, they're translated into completely unrelated compound words.
I think I can
words.
Detect a theme here.
There is a theme.
What's the theme?
No, the words are...
Yeah, there's a theme.
Can I say
I
these?
Just We're not... said it. I gave you the clue.
But so that no, the three translations
Joel,
that have
Joel
coup
already
in them,
knows what it is.
I still don't know. But what is... But
can we just say coup is a general expletive?
No, it isn't.
It means something.
It means
specific.
Yeah.
Does it? Is it sort of? Is it uh-huh. is it the butt area? Is that roughly?
Yeah. Okay. That's what it is.
Let's
yeah.
leave it at that then. Okay.
We'll leave it at the butt area.
This was an excellent podcast.
God, Jay, you're such a butt area.
I said bad words in Portuguese today. This is what my wife thinks I do at work.
When I was in California, I went to a place and they had like a lot of license plates hanging on the walls. And one of them said, "See you forever."
Butt area forever.
What area?